Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
I was gonna tease you, but then I thought I'd leave.
I was gonna tease you. Hey, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Pape can get you pretty much anything you want when it comes to John Deere. Big ag, small ag, turf, they do it all. Give them a call at 226-9226. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake. Or you can catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da! I was going to be the musical background. But I kind of figured
I'd
get in trouble for that one.
Yeah.
So let's see. I thought free advertisement of the day should be We Move It.
We Move It?
Yeah. Yeah, because we did move it, but thank God we had help from We Move It.
Yeah, no fooling. But glad that's over with.
Because we thought, oh, how hard could it be? Just a few miles. We'll just do a lot of it ourselves. Oh, my God. Yeah. So Jeff over at We Move It, he's moved us a few times. We've been serial movers. We're going to stop doing that now, though. God, we better stop doing that.
Oh, that was, yeah. I don't have any more of those left in me.
No, we decided that was probably the last one. Anyway, you can find them if you live in, I don't know how far they go, but if you live in the Reading area, the number is 530-941-6658. And honestly, those guys have moved us, I hate to admit it, but what, four times in the last, like, 12 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, this bed's really heavy. Oh, I remember this table. Yeah, this one's really heavy. It's like, oh.
Yeah, when they get out of the truck and say, hey, my favorite customers. That's not good when they're a mover.
It's bad.
Yeah.
They're great, though. They'll help you with whatever, you know, whatever amount you need. So we thought we'd have them do all the big stuff. That was stupid because I have about a billion books. And they had to go downstairs.
Yeah.
So after they moved half a billion books downstairs, we discovered the other half a billion was in the garage that we had brought there ourselves. So we had to schlep them down the stairs. That was the dumbest thing we did. Well, then my phone got run over and I lost the house key. And
yeah, we were running on fumes.
Being tired turned out to be really hard. So that's why we were absent a lot of the first part of October. We were just too tired to come here and talk to all of you. But again, I'm going to give their number. It's 530-941-6658. And Jeff Thompson and his guys can move whatever. They even moved a safe, a giant safe. And they've moved that a couple times, too. They were like, oh, good, you still have it. Yeah, we do.
So. Yeah, they were drilled, hauling a safe upstairs.
It was just a few stairs.
Yeah.
Thank goodness they had me. I was the wild card. I helped them push it up the thing. Anyway, what a deal. But if you do have to move, do that. And label your boxes. We've gotten pretty good at labeling the boxes. That helps a lot. Let's see. We're off to China. Yay. And oddly enough, we have a new neighbor named Chen, but it's not Dr. Chen.
No.
So in the scope of all things, maybe they're somehow related. We haven't talked to Dr. Chen for a while. There's been a lot going on with China. And I don't know, our emails were crossing in the chaos. And we finally have caught up with him. And he was, I said, so, you know, what do you think we'll talk about today? And he said, how about the CCP's 20th Congress? And I thought, oh, good, another thing I missed during the move. So he will be... He will be our guest this morning. He's been active in projects concerning China for over 30 years. He's founded, co-founded, or been spokesperson for a number of organizations including concerning China and has spoken extensively on issues related to China. He began his activism in 1989 when he helped to organize and support activities during the 1980 Beijing student movement. He was outraged by the June 4th massacre, and he founded the Tiananmen Square Foundation. He served on the board of the president, the board of the Press Freedom Guardian, and was elected as the vice president of the Independent Federation of Chinese Students and Scholars in the U.S. He he has an extensive bio, lots of history. I'm going to skip to the bottom to see what he's doing now. And he was born in China in 1962, and at 15 he entered the gifted program at the China University of Science and Technology. He came to the U.S. in 1982 to study and receive his Ph.D. in molecular biology at the University of California, San Diego. He currently owns and runs a molecular biology startup in San Diego. And
I think that's where I met him, was in my molecular biology class.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank goodness we're not talking to him about that. That'd be a short conversation. Oh, Dr. Chen, how have you been? We haven't seen you since, well, good grief, May. May, can you believe that? It's crazy.
It's a long time.
It's a long time. And there's been a lot happening, yeah. And we know you've been watching it, so I didn't attach any articles or anything. I thought we would just go wherever you would like to take us today.
Yeah. So, first of all, congratulations. I just heard that you moved.
Hey, yeah.
And that's going to be your last move, and that's good.
Yeah, we discovered how old we are. We were way older than we thought.
Our bodies are much older than our minds.
Somebody sent me a meme. It was a picture of somebody with a big blanket like over their whole body. It looked like a Band-Aid. And it said, you know, people over 50, just put this where it hurts. And I was like, why did that not come in the moving van? Yeah, it's a young person's sport for sure. So,
Yeah,
we don't know anything about the Congress, the 20th Congress of the Chinese Communist Party. It kind of sounds like a good thing, but I'm sure it was not.
Well, that has been the number one thing that's related to China since almost like mid-January. Beginning from there, there were a nonstop report on how the current leader of the CCP, Xi Jinping, Xi Jinping came in to the power back in 2013, and in previous few leaders, the one before him is named Hu Jintao. So, let's just say Hu, okay, Hu. And then before him, it was Jiang. Jiang came into power, in 1989, over the blood of the Chinese student and citizens who, stage a pro-democracy movement in the spring of 1989. So many people may not remember that far what went on, but I think they still remember the Tank Man, who stood before the column of People's Liberation Army, that's the name of the communist army in China. The man stood in front of a column of tanks, stopping them. Right? So that historical figure people probably still remember, and that was part of the 1989 spring student democracy movement, right? And Jiang became the Chinese leader over those students' blood. They were, at the night of June 4th, 1989, the PLA or CCP's military opened fire on peaceful students and citizens. There's no telling how many people were killed. It was a a professional military opening fire on peaceful people.
And that was not really reported on very heavily, was it?
At that time, surprisingly, it was not reported very much on, but that was still the most coverage in any CCP events in front of the world. That was the, even though that was that for a good 2 months, yeah, around, well, maybe a little over 1 month, the students' hungry strike and their peaceful petition got onto the world news media more than anything else, right?
Well, I remember
more than the COVID.
Oh, sure. And well, I remember June telling us a long time ago, like back in 2018, that was what really set this series of shows on China up with us a long time ago. And she was saying that in China, as a kid, she was told that the students were attacking the military and the military was just defending itself. And,
and just a
few people died. That was the, like, as it were, the party line there. And when she came to the United States, you know, after she realized that we weren't just pretending to be free, which took quite a few years, she decided to start looking things up. And when she looked up Tiananmen Square and saw how many people died and the fact that everything they had told her was completely false, it was a life changer. So I would imagine she's not the only one who was fed that story.
Right. So that story, you know, that tells you how little the real China has ever been exposed to the world. Student attacking the military.
Right.
Sheep all of a sudden must be on steroid or on something, started attacking wolf, right?
Right.
It was. Anyway, so that brought on a change of guard because at that time, before Zhao, there was another leader called Zhao. He's quickly forgotten. Zhao, who there's another Hu Yaobang and Zhao. They were more flexible leaders. And so they pushed something called open reform. So there, it's like Gorbachev in the Soviet Union, right? And so, but that somehow irritated the conservatives in the CCP. And their hardline CCP, caused discontent in the society, and the student and citizens then went on the street to express their, you know, discontent. And the CCP rolled out military tank, well, around military and tanks, suppressed student and, as, you know, part of the consequences, Zhao was sacked, and this leader, Jiang, then was instilled. Okay, so that start our story there, back in 1989, Jiang. Okay, Jiang ruled China from 1989 to you know, officially, he ruled China from 1989 to 2002. Right? And then from 2002 and 2012 is whose turn? They have something called, you know, it's not a real term limit, but it's customary. Right? So who runs two terms, five each, for 10 years until 2012. And then current leader is Xi. So Jiang, Hu, and Xi. So these are the three names that we have to get used to, because this is, you know, needed to understand what's going on in the 20th CCP national meeting, right?
So now, before you launch into that, let's take a real quick break so we don't have to interrupt you when you get started. Our guest is Dr. Shizong Chin, and we are ready for our break?
Yeah.
Okay. he had on his game face. I couldn't tell which game face it was. We'll be right back.
When they move into your neighborhood, they take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
I see nothing wrong. Spreading myself around. Everybody's talking all the stuff about me.
Yeah.
Why don't they just let me in?
Tell me why.
I don't need permission.
I don't need my own decision.
That's my prerogative.
It's my prerogative.
I can do what I want to do.
It's my prerogative.
Can you live my life?
To play the long one, it had some extra stuff in it. It reminded me of I don't know, something the student movement would have liked back then. Should have been their prerogative, but it wasn't. So, all right, the CCP's 20th Congress with our cast of characters.
Right. So now, first thing that is that's interesting about this meeting is that never in my life, I am one that come from a communist country. Right? Yet, even I have never seen the world attention to a communist meeting that has, you know, so much report, so much attention. And that is strange. So when I grew up in China, okay, I have never paid attention to any communist meeting inside China or outside China. I have no idea when the Soviet Union would have their national communist meeting, right, who would be their leader after they come to the United States. I have paid little attention. I don't remember seeing anybody paying much attention to that. If me, from a communist country, doesn't pay enough attention to it, I don't think anybody in a free world would care for that. And yet, this particular communist meeting has attracted world attention, at least in those who observe China, right, they pour all over it, and you see the report comments on it, and that's number one. Number two, I don't ever remember a so-called election or re-election of any communist leader have, you know, attract as much attention. I mean, in this country, in the United States, right, the one communist leader they would care the most would be Castro, Fidel Castro in Cuba. Right? And I don't remember seeing news report on whether he'll be reelected or not hold on to his power. you know. And yet, this current leader, Xi, whether he will be reelected, right, has caused so much attention. And that, to me, in itself, is very strange. Number three, the basic theme of the mainstream media is anti-Xi, or the narrative, right, is one that they oppose Xi, but not oppose the CCP. That is interesting.
Right. And it seems like they missed the point.
And right, and the White House and DOS, Department, the you know, Department of State, as well as National Security Council, right, repeatedly made it public that they do not seek regime change. I said, they don't want China to change communist regime. Yet the mainstream media, right, have been carrying on a narrative that Xi is weak, Xi is losing power, Xi this and Xi that. And up to maybe a month before the meeting, and it started to tone down this anti-Xi narrative. Now, what's surprising is that not only Xi did not lose his power, but significantly boosted his power. And then this is the story that should, you know, warrant some explaining.
Mm-hmm.
And why our media were so far, number one, why are we paying this much attention, right? Number one. Number two, if we pay this much attention, we better get the news right. We got it completely wrong, right? And so I want to share with our listener here, and that this is not an honest mistake. This media hype and this surprising result is not an honest mistake, but an orchestrated coup to save Jiang faction. So then I want to explain why to save the Jiang faction. What does the Jiang faction face? Right? And why Wall Street? Why the elites? Why the mainstream media would jump into that? And, well, number one, Jiang faction has all the connection that they have with our Wall Street, with globalization. And the Jiang, what I call the Jiang faction, not only is the worst enemy to the Chinese people, the worst ever, right? By far, by hundredfold, right? It's the worst enemy of the Chinese people, Chinese culture, but it is also the worst enemy of any foe of the free world, including Hitler, including Stalin, including, you know, whatever, right? And yet, our media, mainstream media, wittingly or unwittingly, maybe unwittingly. In this particular case, they may be manipulated by John Fraction to assist in this coup. Now, first of all, why this John is worst enemy to the free world? I won't get into even Chinese people first yet. I want to get to into why he's the worst enemy of the free world. He was the one that initiated what I called earlier. I've been consistently calling that the generous barbarism strategy of communism against the free world. Now, what is a generous barbarism? The United States and the free world has fought barbarism before. Hitler, Stalin, right? Those represent major threat to the free world. By posing military threat to our way of life, you know, nuclear bomb, etc. So, you know, the NATO, Warsaw Pact, Cold War, all that. Right? Those were the barbaric threat to the free world, to our way of life. All those were conquered by the United States. Hitler, you know, at the end of the World War II, and the Soviet Union at the end of the Cold War. So the United States and the free world stood up to them and actually got strong through those tests. And then the CCP under Jiang came on as a completely different kind of threat, a threat that we still do not recognize. That's the scary part, right? Now, in this country, people start to recognize the CCP threat represented by Xi, okay? That is why they anti-Xi, but they welcome Jiang. That's why they, in their mind, they welcome the comeback of Jiang Fraction. And that's why they do not oppose CCP, but they oppose Xi, because Xi would represent, in their mind, Xi would represent a hardline communism. Right? They do not like this country, at least some people, right? Wall Street. They do not like hardline communism, but they like very much soft communism represented by Zhao.
What would be some of the key differences between those two?
Right, that's what I'm about to get to.
Oh, right. Sorry about that. As you were.
No. You asked the right question. So, remember I mentioned Jiang came onto the power as a result of the 1989 student movement, but the crushing of the June 4th massacre. So the June 4th massacre, for the first time, broadcast how brutal, how barbaric that regime can be, even though it's limited to exposure. Right? But still, let the world to see how barbaric that regime is. Okay, so both inside China and outside China, that regime lost its legitimacy. And then, that is 1989, but that massacre also touched the downfall of a series of communist power. In Romania, right, on the Christmas Day of 1989, Ceausescu was executed Right, so that communist regime fall. And then in 1992, the former Soviet Union broke apart. You know, the 15 republic or you know, former countries of the Soviet Union all declared independence. So basically, that was the end of what we now know as USSR or Soviet Union. So that marks the failure of communism, worldwide communism movement that started from Marxism, from Karl Marx. And so that marks both the formal end of the Cold War, but also supposedly the formal ending, formal failure of communism. Okay? But the CCP survived, and the CCP attracted little attention at that time because the Soviet Union, as a military threat, was the main focus of attention of the free world. The ending, the so-called ending of communism, also brought the failure of communism as a way of governance. So the CCP at that time in 1992 faced a double crisis. Right? First of all, has lost its, legitimacy of governance because the June 4th massacre, and then the whole communist movement has lost its legitimacy in the world. So at that time, CCP was in survival mode. And then the CCP came out and say, well, we do not represent any threat. Not only we will not represent any threat like Soviet Union, we will actually provide benefit to you, to the free world. And the condition is nothing, right? As long as you do not interfere with my internal affair. Okay, that's what they call, okay, the CCP. As long as you do not interfere with my internal affair, then we can get along. Not only we can get along, we have a gigantic market. You can come to do business with our gigantic market. Right? And so that was the generous part.
Okay, hold on. We'll do the barbarism part when we come back.
Okay.
Let's leave it on an up note. The generous part. The, come over here, little girl. I have candy in my car. Just get in. Nothing bad will happen. Yeah, we've seen this before. Oof. We'll be right back. Our guest is Dr. Shezong Chen. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Ourselves when everyone has gone. Some are sad, cotton, some are steel, some are silk, and some are leather. They're the faces of the stranger, but we love to try them on.
Thought that might be a good interlude for the barbarism part.
My goodness, you have a song for everything.
We do.
I am impressed.
That seemed particularly appropriate.
I mean, the other song also, They Move In My Neighbor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that song as well. I'm amazed.
We do our best. I figure since they don't know anything about the topic, I might as well bring some music to the program.
No. Everybody try their best. But you do it.
Okay, you can be our guest every week. Okay, back to the bad news.
Yeah. Fun's
over.
And that actually is the new strategy, new form of evil. I, even myself, okay, my thinking have changed for the past, you know, over the past 10 years, in past year, right? So, the generous barbarism was what I recognized back in 2011, or maybe 2012. Over that time, so I thought that is something new that the world do not see, fail to see. And sure, you know, the economic gain, the upside is so much, right? I mean, that's a vast market that 1.5 billion people.
Oh yeah.
That. Yeah, if we can sell a single item to one-tenth of that population, how much money we can make? I mean, everywhere you think that way.
Sure.
And so this is such a new way of enticement that up till now, with the exception of President Trump, I haven't seen any world leader saw through that and can resist that, even till now. But we probably need to spend another two programs on this, because I just came to realize this year that this was actually another form of Cold War. See, we fought a military Cold War, the free world, not just the United States, right? The free world fought a military Cold War against, you know, the hard communism in the form of the Soviet Union, the military communism. And this generous barbarism, even 10 years ago, I didn't see it that way. I only start to see that this year, that it represent a economic Cold War against this country, except that the military Cold War is so easy to see because it represents a threat immediately. Look, I mean, tank is, you know, is rolling towards you, right? A gun is pointing towards you. I mean, and the message is a surrender or I'll kill. What more can be, you know, we will need to get alert, right? But the economic Cold War is not only unperceptible, but enticing. Just like you said earlier, come on, let it go, right? It's attractive. Yet, we all forgot that communism, at its very basis, is against our value system. yet we look at the money so much that we forgot that beyond money there are value.
Mm-hmm.
And communism is at its very basis against all our value. And so, and we want to, I want to reserve a program for what I call a sub-nation, sub-national invasion. And again, this is in the past 2 years, I start to realize that this country had been subjected to a sub-national invasion without really perceiving it. So let me bring in what I want to talk also first in this program first also. Have you heard, right? Have you heard that the Chinese police have set up, you know, a minimal, right? This is a partial list, right? Has set up 54 police stations in the free world. In the United States, in New York, there's one. In Canada, there are two. There are many more in your countries. So, in this country, except our own police station, there's Chinese police station. Have you heard of anything like that? Do you think this country has more than the U.S. police? Can you imagine a Japanese police station? Can you imagine or German, the Soviet Union police station in this country? Can you?
Yeah, I was reading that article here a few weeks ago, and I was shocked. I had no idea they were allowing. You know, they said they're set up in all different countries, and then they said, "Oh yeah, they're here too. They're in New York and some other big cities," which was shocking.
It was kind of around that time. I couldn't get a hold of you for a while, and I thought, "Oh my gosh, they got him!" I was kind of worried.
There are 54 such stations in over 30 countries.
What the heck? And what's the? Okay, so if you didn't know what was going on, you know, with China and all that, what's the happy explanation for this? Like, what are they telling people? Oh, don't worry about it. Because of why?
I don't think there could be any happy answer.
Okay.
The only answer I can think of is to not let you know about it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Forgot about that one.
Right?
So yeah, there's lying and there's hiding. So if you can just do hiding, that's pretty good. You can lie later.
Right. So... and this is the latest example of what I call subnational invasion. The Chinese communist dictatorship, their way of governance, their way of ruling, has entered in our country without us knowing. So I have done some more research on this subject in the past 2 years, right? And those are the things that in this country people do not recognize they are a way, they are a form of subnational invasion. A subnational invasion is a way of infringement on our way of life without even touching off our national defense.
Yeah, right? They didn't get any opposition. What? How long have these police stations or whatever? How long have they been here?
See, the part is that we have no idea.
Oh, okay. All right.
Right. And so there are other ways of subnational invasion. The so-called friend or sister city. sister city is nothing new in the free world. But, you know, the CCP is the anti-Midas touch, right? Midas finger, anything Midas finger touch turns into gold. Anything the CCP touch turns into hell, right? So the CCP then got involved in the Sister City program and then turned that program as a way of impacting our lives. And our government even assisted. It is because the CCP that under Hillary Clinton, DOS formed a office, a liaison office to, you know, to help, to work with China for this kind of a, you know, sister state, sister city. Okay, in another world, sorry, in another word, a Chinese city, right, is negotiating with a U.S. city on things, cultural, economic, sports, all the things that, you know, working with the U.S. city, bypassing our national, you know, politics. Okay? That's the same as the police station. The police station is bypassing the formal name is called Overseas Service Station. Right? The Overseas Service Station of Chinese police bypassing the diplomatic national level barrier. It worked. They go under. They have circumvented the national front line to impact our life directly. I call that subnational relation. And that is the Communist China is the only country that has achieved that. And they didn't achieve it in one area. Achieved in multiple areas. And I think we need to spend a program talk about this subnational nation. Anyway,
on the police station thing, what would they possibly be? What would their job be? Like, what do they say that their job is, or is that just not being talked about?
I'll tell you, the first job is like what you say. Their first job would be, come on, little girl.
Candy, right? In my car.
Yeah, that's always their first.
Are they supposed to be? Is this like a? Oh, we're here to help.
Well, that's what the universal lie article said, was that they claim they're set up to assist Chinese citizens and dual citizens with information to help them live in a different culture, and so they're right. There just to help. But that's not what the people are saying. They're saying they're being threatened.
If I came here from China, and they had Chinese police stations in my area, I'm just guessing. But that's the last place I'd go.
Well, yeah, you don't want to speak up because they're targeting the dissidents is what they're doing, and they're threatening.
I know, that's
their
why I was really worried. I couldn't get a hold of Dr. Chen. I thought they got him. I was like, oh my god, he's not writing back. I think he still likes us, so that means they got him. Those are the only two choices I came up with.
let's make a pack, okay?
Okay.
If I'm ever in danger, I will call you first.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Well, as long as we have that secret under wraps,
yeah. We'll know to go into full scale search mode.
Oh, all right. People can ponder that. Liam, where are we? Do we have? Is it time? Are we out of time?
Look.
Oh, we're out of time. Hold on. We're not out of time. We're coming back with them next hour, but we're out of time this hour. We'll be right back.
You will feel no pain anymore, no more.
My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
Hello, Bill.
Hello, Aaron. Hey, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery.
Oh, sure.
They're our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. They can do pretty much anything when it comes to ag and turf equipment. Just go up and see them. If you have any brand ag or turf equipment, they can work on all of it up there. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake, just off I-5. Or you can give them a call. Their phone number is 226-9226, or you can catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm going to do the same free commercial that I did the first hour.
Yeah?
Because We Move It is so great. And we shouldn't have moved it. We should have let them move it. We should have followed the directions. Their name of their company is We Move It. Yeah, we should have just acquiesced. You can find them at 530-941-6658. And they were voted best moving company in the North State, actually. I forgot about that the first
really?
Hour. Yes.
I'll be darned.
Jeff Thompson and his fellers. They do a great job. And easy to schedule. You catch him on his cell phone, you know, get an answer right then. There's no, you know, convoluted, you know, it's just not convoluted. It's easy. And if you can't get it done in a day, that might have been our problem. It was really easy. Couple days later, poof, moved the rest of it.
Yep, got it all moved.
Yeah, simple Simon. Except for the fact that...
Moved and moved in.
Yeah, moved and moved in. They're great. They'll do whatever you need. But We Move It. You can find them at 530-941-6658. Mr. Jeff Thompson. So thank you for moving us for the last time in our entire lives. We're going to put that in, write that in stone.
Yeah, we're going to lose our favorite customer status.
Yeah, we'll hang out with you and go to dinner. We went to dinner with him at Black Bear the last time we moved because we were all so darn tired. Nobody could see straight. It's like, let's go eat. Terrible. But our guest is not terrible, Dr. Shizong Chen. He is tons of fun. He's really smart. And we learn everything about China from him. He's like he's our decoder, our secret decoder ring for China. I did not mention in the first hour, but he has authored or co-authored several books. So done both authoring and co-authoring. One is called Stories of Conscience, The Falun Gong Report. Falun Gong, Humanity's Last Stand, is now in its third edition, and most recently he has a comprehensive report on the extensive psychiatric torture taking place in China. So just in case, and in all seriousness, if you're not kind of conversant in what's going on in China, you know, how they treat the people in China, we hear all about, you know, human rights abuses, blah, blah, blah. And I think that becomes sort of blah, blah, blah for people. Oh, human rights abuses. Okay. So people don't have enough food or they don't have this or that or the other thing. In our archives, if you go to wethepeopleradio.us, you click on the tab that's marked China. We've done a ton of shows on there with a bunch of different people. And if you have never heard before that in China, they snatch up political prisoners. And if they happen to be practicing Falun Gong, they tend to be the ones they kind of target. But there's an involuntary organ harvesting program that goes on there where they basically take out your organs and sell them to the highest bidder. So if you know anybody who's going to China for an organ transplant, guess what? That came from somebody who did not donate that organ voluntarily. And we're not talking like we're taking part of your liver or just one of your kidneys. It's I'll never forget the first show we did on this. I'm like, well, what kind of organs do they take? Oh, their heart. I'm sorry, do they have two?
No.
Like, don't they need that? No. You know, heart, important stuff. Final stuff. It's a really big deal, and we have done quite a few shows on that. I would So we're talking about the concept of generous barbarism. You know, oh, hey, come over here, do business. We'll make you a great deal. And by the way, you don't want to know how all the stuff gets made and what's going on the other end. But
well, we had some relatives that went to China and were doing business over there, and they really liked it because they helped them so much get their business started, and if they ever wanted to go anywhere, they would supply them with people to take them around and show them different sites. And little did they know, they were only seeing what the CCP wanted them to see. And needless to say, they no longer have a business in China because now it's owned by the Chinese, and they were shown the door.
Yeah.
So it's not always what it appears to be.
It's a very, very different world, and I think it's a world that most people who live in the free world really don't understand and can't comprehend. And even after all the shows we've done, I still struggle. But anyway, there's quite a bit of information, so I would if you're sick of listening to the same news day in and day out, you know, you can only listen to how Nancy Pelosi's husband was attacked by a man in his underpants wielding a hammer so many times. After a while, you need to move on. Learn some new stuff.
Yeah.
So go to the site and check out the programs on China. Our archives are always free to listen to. You can download them. You can, I don't care if you burn them to CDs and sell them. You can do whatever you like. Just pass on the information. That's why we do the show.
In the last hour, we were talking about how the Chinese have set up basically police stations throughout the world and in foreign countries, including the United States. They have these police stations that they claim are only there to help their citizens adjust to new cultures and answer any questions.
They're going to decode America for...
Yeah, they're there to help. But the stories coming out are they're not there to help. They're there to track down people that are speaking against the CCP and basically giving them a free ride back to China. And if they resist and they have family back in China, guess what? They're going to get targeted. So, I mean, we are allowing that in this country to go on, which blows my mind that there's any kind of foreign police force operating on U.S. soil. But it's happening. And so Dr. Chen, I'm not sure where we were on that whole topic, but it is happening.
What else don't people know about this? Because honestly, I think if you read that, you either think it's not true or you think it's crazy, but you don't really know how to look into it. What else should people know about that, and what could they do about it, if anything?
Let's start with what you asked earlier. So what they do, what this kind of, police do. Okay, of course, say only the good things, they only help you, right?
Yeah.
Nothing scarier than I'm here from the government and I'm here to help, unless they're from China.
Yeah.
Ah!
Yeah. And the candy was real.
Yeah.
The candy is still the only to get you into the car. Once you get in a car, then some stuff will happen. So let me share with my personal wake up to this. That was back in 1990 when I became elected. When I was elected, when I decided to run for the Vice Presidency of the Independent Federation of Chinese Students and Scholars. That was the largest pro-democracy organization worldwide, at that time. One of the things that woke me or dawned on me was that even though I am in this country, I'm supposed to be free in this country, I realize I'm not free. Because I have family members in China.
Mm-hmm.
The CCP cannot get to me, but they can get to my family members. We're all, Chinese, we all have family members in China. And so then I came to realize that if we cannot get China free, we're not free. And that was what prompted me to come out and run for the vice presidency, to devote myself to help to save ourselves, and then save the country and save ourselves. So now things have gotten a lot worse now than 30 years ago. So this police station are supposed to help Chinese people, right? And it claims to help Chinese people who may have a hard time getting integrated into a new culture, a new country. And guess what? If you are not getting into this country too well, they help you go back.
Mm.
How many people they have helped you? How many people did this overseas police station help the Chinese gone back to China? 230,000.
Whoa.
230,000 people. Right? This is just a partial report, okay? The real number can only be bigger, right? 230 Chinese people not getting along too well with this free world culture, have gone back to China through the help of those overseas stations. Think about that. And so, if Chinese people are so not used to this country or this culture, why would they even come in the first place? Huh?
Well, who decides if they're used to it or not? Right? What's the evaluation tool?
You can ask all kinds of questions. And then, okay, it doesn't stop there. Right? So, Chinese people, when they come to this country, free country, they're not free. 230,000 people have been helped to go back to China. And will that impact non-Chinese? Maybe they're married.
Oh.
Maybe they have business in this country. Maybe they're assigned to do something. Maybe that's a threat, right? And that's all what I call a subnational invasion. The CCP claimed to open its market to let this country or free world other country get into China's market. But at the same time, the CCP has entered into other country a much greater way, much more impactful way, and we don't recognize that. And that is the scary part, and that is what I have been, most of my research, my speaking, have been trying to deliver this message. What happens in China? The dictatorship there, that people's right there relates to our rights here. So I start my, anti-CCP or my pro-democracy movement with that realization. As I said earlier, I'm not free, so I want to fight for my own freedom. And I hope one day, sooner, better than later, that people in this country realize that the CCP actually impact our life here.
Yeah.
That there has been a war going on, and that is a Cold War, what I call it. And I just came to realize this year. This year, that the CCP has been carrying on a cold war, economic cold war against the United States ever since they launched this generous barbarism. And now that's the Chinese. Well, let me tell you just another way, just how it has already changed our way of life.
Hold that thought so we don't have to interrupt it. We have to take a really quick break. We'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Sejong Chen. Easy for me to say. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. We are fools to do their dirty work. Dr. Chen, just out of curiosity, I know how long we've kind of known about the Chinese police stations in our cities, and it's not that long. How long has it actually been happening? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea. I don't have any idea. I myself only came to realize that, when this report came out, September.
Oh, okay. All right.
And but that report itself says it's a partial list. And so that's what they saw. The people who did the research saw. But have they gotten to the, origin of it? Doesn't look like so. So it could have gone on longer. As long as we do not build our border, in this case, our morality border, this kind of thing will continue to come in as an illegal immigrant. Right? This country should treat communism as illegal thought. Because that ideology is set up to completely destroy our way of living. Now, people do not believe that. Right now, what I just said is politically incorrect. And this is at the bottom of the problem. People do not, nowadays, few people would even agree or would even accept that man's wellness, our welfare, came from the divine. Human beings nowadays think they make their own lives. And so they refuse to recognize providence. Okay. And so as a result, they do not see this. Communism is a palm of Satan. Satan uses communism to destroy human beings. And the real reason that this kind of thing can happen to this country is because this country, more and more people have lost their faith in divinity, in God, in other higher beings. This is going to manifest more and more. As long as, like I said, I'm afraid. Well, not I'm afraid. I'm sure that if this country do not build up our morality border. This kind of a satanic, you know, things will continue to come in this country. It's not a police station, it will be another station, it will be another one, it will be me, it will be endless one. Right? Earlier I said, let me give you just, you know, the police station thing doesn't impact this country in a big way yet, even though 230,000 Chinese are being helped, okay, quote unquote, helped to go back to China. Well, that's only Chinese. Let me say something about non-Chinese. So this country is conceived, according to President Abraham Lincoln, this country is conceived in liberty. Build on the concept of all men are equal. Right? So fair competition, free economy, free market, all those based on fairness. Well, there's one fairness being taken away. Big way. So in this country, if you are critical to China, you will not be able to make money in China. On the other hand, if you praise China, you'll be given business in China. So therefore, if there are two group of competitors, you know, one would praise China, the other one would be critical of China, or the CCP, who will win out? And this is a free economy, right? A fair competition, right? This is all based on competition. When the competition is tilted, of course, those who praise China will win over long term. Maybe over 5 years, maybe over 10 years. So that is to say, in 10 years, this country will have, the people who praise the CCP will have more say to the things in that relates to this country. And that is how unperceptibly the CCP can change our way of life. And this is not just a hypothesis. This is happening. And we can discuss about this is what I call a subnational invasion. This country has been subnationally invaded in multiple ways. I would like to introduce you to, I sent Aaron a link to an article published by ChinaScope. So I would like to recommend some of the articles on that website, because I work with some, we are a small group, we only have just around 10 people, and we dedicate ourselves to the subject, to study, you know, China-related things, how that may impact this country. And subnational invasion is one of the topics that we have spent some time on. And I will continue to send some of our findings in that area. But this country has been subject to a Cold War, what I call economic Cold War, subjected to a subnational invasion by the CCP, and we don't even recognize it. Not only we don't recognize it, Wall Street facilitated that, because Wall Street benefit tremendously through this economic Cold War. So then to bring back the topic, all this started with Zhao, the head of CCP that came onto power in 1989. The CCP was weak at that time. He cannot pose any military threat to this country. It can only sell China's market as a prostitute. Right? So come on. You can receive your enjoyment over me. You don't have to, there's no condition, right? All you have to do is to look away to what I do to my own people.
Yeah, nothing going on over here.
Right. So, in a way, it is very much like a prostitute when a man can approach, can accept, you know what? I just recall that in a court case where a Bush brother, the older Bush's brother, right, was doing business in China, and wait, I remember it wrong. It's one of the Bush sons, the younger Bush's brother, was doing business in China, but later he was involved in a divorce case, court case. Therefore, in the court case, it's a good part of this country that all this get deposed and become public available. And so part of the information disclosed that when he was doing business in China, it was offered, women for his enjoyment. Right, so now, when a man can accept that kind of a service, maybe he doesn't, and the court case says that he doesn't have to pay, right? So, he's offered free comfort.
Right. That's a nice way of putting it. Who said you're politically incorrect? That was excellent. Comfort. Oh.
Right. And, but if we think about it, when a man can accept that, doesn't it sell already said that the man is defect in some moral aspect?
Yeah.
The country is the same. I'm sorry to say that. A country is the same. When a country can accept generous barbarism and continue to go deeper and deeper, we are walking further away from what we're supposed to be. We are walking away. We're leaving Providence. We have gone further and further away. And that is the very essence, I think. I believe communism, the ultimate goal of communism is that world's people away from our source. What made us human.
Yeah. Well, the list. Let's see. I have it on our China tab. The 45 goals from the Naked Communist to overthrow the United States that Cleon Skousen wrote in 1958. I mean, when you kind of go down that list, all these things are on there. Just the third thing, develop the illusion that total disarmament by the United States would be a demonstration of moral strength. Every administration we've had in the last, 20, 30 years, the Democrats always push that. Like, oh, and same too with gun control. I mean, that's the underpinning of gun control. If we take away the guns from all the good people, then we won't have any more problems. Oh, okay. And we all know that that's, well, I mean, I think most people know that's not real. But, yeah, provide American aid to all nations regardless of communist domination. Grant recognition of Red China, admission to the UN. This list is amazing. Resist attempts to outlaw the Communist Party, number 12.
Mm-hmm.
Continue giving Russia access to the U.S. Patent Office. Capture one or both political parties in the United States. Well, it's kind of a foregone conclusion there. I would encourage people to go look at that list. One of them, I don't remember which one it is. There's only 45 of them. You'd think I could read the list faster. But there was one that they hadn't noticed that someone in one of our shows brought up. And they said, think about all the artwork in the public spaces that's just ugly, weird, you know, twisted stuff. Just that doesn't – it's not a statue of anyone. It isn't a picture of anything. It's just this random kind of ugly. I think we've grown to know that it's called modern art, maybe. But that is one of the things, was to make everything formless and shapeless. And that's that is one of the goals.
Yeah.
Take away things that evoke emotion in people, beauty, take away all the beauty.
Yeah.
And that's all part of ushering in these communist things. And I think a lot of people are focused on what is communist. But I would encourage you to go look at that list. The 45 goals from the Naked Communist. I'll bet you could just Google search that or you'll find it on the China tab of our website. But read down that list and look at how many of them are so subtle that you would never connect it to ushering in communism. I don't think we're that wise about that, maybe. Smart's kind of a mean word. Maybe we're just not wise about it.
Yeah. The problem is, you know, this country has taken away the education about communism. Right? This country, when it was engaged in the military Cold War, has strong education against communism. And that has been taken away. And so people did not know what communism is. And so they did not know that communism is working in this country. They do not know they're working, they're helping communism. Globalization helps communism. And communism helps globalization. When two things can work together. If they're not the same, at least they like each other.
Yeah.
And they're compatible with each other. And Satan wants to, I think the best design for Satan to destroy human, for a human being, is to get human beings.
Yeah.
To leave God, to get away, to go away further and further. And this is what's going on.
Well, on that note, I found the perfect song for you, actually. It's kind of long, but it's wonderful, by Casting Crowns. So we'll go out with that. We'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Shizong Chen. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
With just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors, shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling.
telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
Just a dream. That was just a dream. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight. Losing my religion. Trying to keep up with you. And I don't know if I can do it.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, it needs people like you, Dr. Chen, who are just faithful to exposing all of this, no matter what, you know, and taking the time to do stuff like this, to come on with us and highlight all of it. Because honestly, unless you really have been groomed in that system, you don't see it for what it is. I mean, we're not suspicious enough, you know? Like, I found the one I was thinking about, the art, one of the 45 rules of communism. Number 22, continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression. An American communist cell was told to, quote, eliminate all good sculpture from parks, buildings, and substitute shapeless, awkward, and meaningless forms. Huh.
Right.
Yeah, we haven't seen too much of that in the last few years, have we? It just, you know, use student riots to foment public protest against programs and organizations which are under communist attack. It just, it goes on and on and on. And I'd have to read this more closely to see if there's any we haven't checked off, but I can kind of throw a dart at this list, and about any single one of them, I'm thinking this is happening at light speed, and I think people are really, really, I think we're at a point where we really need to start seeing this for what it is, if we haven't already.
And we also have to know what is the ultimate aim of communism. You know, as I have always said, and said it multiple times here on this program, that there are only two kinds of human conflict. Right? The kind that even animal will do, you know, to fight for food, fight for spouse, fight for space, you know, fight for survival. And then there's a second kind that only human knows how to do, and that is the struggle for truth, right? Truth over lies, truth versus lies, you know, right versus wrong. Communism represent lies, you know, hate, all that. And eventually, the ultimate conflict, the ultimate ideologically, what I call, you know, this is the first kind of animal. The kind of animal can do is interest based, right? And the second kind of animal doesn't do is, you know, ideological based, right? And the ultimate ideological conflict for humans, that the highest form of the conflict that human can engage is believe in God or anti-theist. That is the ultimate conflict. Because if human beings do not believe in God, they will be all destroyed. And this is what the ultimate goal of communism. And communism is a palm of Satan. And so, ever since I thought about that, my scope of communism spread was greatly widened, and I see in free country the things, anything that can, that is compatible with communism, help communism, I grow suspicious of them, and they will help human to go deeper and further from providence. And the CCP, of course, is the major representative of communism, but there are others work with that communism. Others help that communism to get into this country. The subnational nation could not happen without communism element in this country. They're not yet full blown communism, but they are communism element.
Look at the whole, Black Lives Matter and the Antifa and all of these different groups that have gotten so much really support from the mainstream public and have been used to silence any sort of dissent, or if you were to call them out on anything, of course you're a racist or a hater or whatever, and that's all part of the plan too.
Yeah, and so we are, and Satan have created so many different concepts that dazzles our eyes to confuse us. And some of the things we thought were good, actually, if we calm our mind and think about it, they are actually not good. They work with communism, and based on that, I recently got to understand, come to the realization, globalization contains a lot of communism element, but appear in capitalist outfit. Right? So capitalism and communism supposed to antagonize each other. Right? But now I realize communism and the belief in God, those are ultimately antagonize each other. So many other ideas, capitalism, globalism, global warming, all the warming, and many ideas. Maybe they are just put out there by Satan to dazzle our mind, to dazzle our eyes, confuse our mind.
And I think each one of those topics that you listed, and there are many more, obviously, that could go in line, I do think they appeal to sometimes the same people, but they appeal to different people. And by having that smorgasbord of possibilities, I I would agree with you that, Satan's running the hometown buffet there on that whole thing. Pick the thing you want. It'll get you to the same place. It's going to be great.
Right. So have I mentioned the book titled The Spectre is Ruling the World? Did I mention that?
No.
The Spectre is what?
The Spectre is Ruling the World.
Ruling the World, okay. I will add that to the site. Will you tell us about it?
Yeah. I hardly suggest you to read it. Anybody, you know, listening to this, it's freely available. Now, interesting that this book was originally freely available in, I believe, in Amazon. And then after a while, this is banned, somehow no longer available. But it is still available in the Epoch Time website. I highly recommend. It's not an easy read. None of the subject that we talk about today is easy.
Sure.
They're a hard subject. So is this book, Spectre. But it's worth our life to read it.
And then tell me, I can't. It says it's from the. Darn it, just lost it.
It's from the same author who wrote the nine commentary of
the Communist Party. Okay, so this is the right one.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same group of thinker that has.
It's interesting. It is back on Amazon, but the book cover says the Epoch Times how the specter of communism is ruling our world, by the editorial board of the nine commentaries of the Communist Party. Is that
right?
Yeah,
that's the same. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so it's back on there. Paperback's like $26, so it's not like you're going to have to, you know, shoot your life savings on this.
There's also free. It's also freely available, I believe, in English Epoch Times.
I'll put the Epoch Times link to it up there.
Yeah.
Because we like them. We wouldn't. We would rather promote them.
And so, now, that brings up the issue. That Zhang, one of the biggest things that Zhang did is to persecute Falun Gong. There are forces to get people away from the truth, from love, from providence, but there are also people, there are forces to get people back to them. And cultivation, or, you know, the way Chinese would express, the same, it's the same as religion, but cultivation is the way for people to get back with the providence. And Falun Gong is a movement to reconnect people with where they came from. And that was severely persecuted. And this persecution so far has attracted little attention. And on the contrary, the force that persecuted Falun Gong has attracted more attention in the world, because they can provide you with material enjoyment, provide with you economic gain, right? And so that in itself is the major battlefront right now in the world. The forces to get us back to versus away from our source.
It doesn't seem like a real complicated plan, but they sure are working hard at it. Very hard. Oh my gosh! Can you imagine that we have burned through 2 hours swiftly with you? We will definitely.
We should have another one. We should talk about economical war. We should talk about subnational, all those important subjects.
We will reconvene on email. How'd that be?
Sure.
Thank you, Dr. Chen. We appreciate you spending your Sunday afternoon with us.
Thanks for coming on. Sundays are tough, but we do appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
You can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us. You know there ain't no rest for the wicked.
Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay, we got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down, we can't hold back. Though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.